or Radio.
But the point is, I could certainly easily drive over to your house, record it with you there, and that would get that more, you know, interaction going.
We'll have to look into it, because right now, the way it's set up, no matter what, it would be in different rooms, even in the house, because it's set up as a phone system. But
I see.
Yeah, but we will look into that. That's a possibility. And, okay, also, I am a co-host, so we should do this for each other as well. And I do have different things to promote, because financial gerontology should be one of the Ron Gilak's claim to fame. It is working. I mean, everybody I'm seeing, with a couple of exceptions that Patricia and I agreed that Joe should do, have over $2 million. Most of them have three. The Johnsons have five.
Yeah.
So this business of financial gerontology is not a to be taken lightly. Because it has its own issues, because everybody's got their own advisors. So I'm beginning to realize that what I have to do is more wedge work. But now I know where that market is.
And by the way, there is that book. It's called The Wedge for Financial Advisors.
Right.
That's specifically on point on that.
That's coming. So, so we should do that. And some of those things have to do with being a journalist, being press, you know, being on the air. But the last thing, and this is could be time consuming, but once we get it done, it's done. The reason my show did well is people were able to call in. And and that is something, not for today, that we should discuss. But what they can do is they can go to the website, your website, and they can ask a question on the website. So we could, and then we could answer it on the air. And then, of course, we could fake it. So and this is something that I think we should do today. I think we should begin with questions that people have asked on the radio shows and prime it for them to send in their questions.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay, and for now, I'm just trying to think of your website. There is a place where they can ask for a consultation. But I don't know if that would be intimidating, if they think if they do that, they'll be asking for a consultation. It might be better just to have an email sent. Let them send an email.
Okay. Well, one thing that we got set up late in the afternoon tomorrow was picking, like, a toll-free vanity number.
Right.
And what we found was the 844 we retire, and the way that Mark, the consultant, suggested, you know, you play that is he says, you know, you say, hey, call, you know, 1-844 we retire, and then that will get, by the time the show airs, we'll have later in the week, hopefully, the service set up that'll answer calls, you know, 24/7, 7 days a week. And the way he was describing, you say the number is you sort of say the number maybe two times, and then the third time you repeat the digits, because a lot of people are just too darn lazy to sit there and look up, well, what number is the W and what number is the E and what number is the R?
Right.
So, but for the person who's driving, or for the person who just quick wants to write down the number, you know, and is intending to call later, the 844 we retire, and you always have to say toll free because not everybody knows an 844 number is toll free, is a good thing.
Right. So we're doing this a little bit differently. So let's throw this out. We made a completely different clock, which we'll guide you through, no problem with it. We have 4 3-minute spots. Those 3-minute spots we're not recording today, because I'm recording it tight. Plus, we have the guy who will do some of it so that the voice will change.
Right.
And what I'm doing is the donuts. It's a lot of stuff that's in his thing, but I always did it on the air because I was recording it for sponsors. So it's a donut. It's an interesting way of advertising. It's the calls to action, and also, of course, it has to all be okayed by Phil. So right now I have two spots okayed by Phil, and one I'm just going to punt on. And we're going to do that after you have the number. So, in other words, I'm going to record that.
Well, that is the number.
Oh, that's the number. Okay, so I can record that another time, and Stuart's going to drop it into the show. So that it'll be all ready for Sunday. So we're not doing the ad today. However, what we can do, since you know the number for sure, is we can say it here and there in the show to ask people to come in and ask questions of us. And then in the ads, because we have 12 minutes of ads in this show, the way it's structured now, and they're tight. They're very, you know, clear red ads. Or if you, you know, once in a while you can say, and that's also the number for our 15-minute phone meeting to put you in the right direction.
And, you know, the other thing that he was suggesting yesterday when I was on the call with him about that 15-minute phone meeting, He says you can make it phone or video chat meeting, because if somebody's like, hey, you know, that'd be pretty cool. I could talk to somebody via, you know, Zoom or Skype or GoToMeeting. But he says just refer to it as phone or face-to-face video chat.
Okay. Now tell me the name of the number again. It's 1-800-WE-RETIRE.
1-844-WE-RETIRE. Toll free 1-844-WE-RETIRE.
Oh, it's not 1-800.
No, it's 844. So that's why you got to specify. Call toll free 1-844-WE-RETIRE.
Is that enough numbers? Yeah, it is. Okay. And what's the? And you translate it for me, because I'm just as bad.
Oh gosh, I don't know. I don't have a.
Okay. Good. Let me
ask
Stuart
to
look at
the darn. Yeah.
Let me, Stu. We have a new phone number here. It's very clever. It's we.
1-844. We retire.
For them to call in. It's called We Retire. Just give me the numbers that translate to We Retire. He's going to do that now. Okay. Now, having said that, we still need a little bit of topics of the day. Okay. And also the friendly chat at the beginning is a good idea as well. Okay.
Yeah, and you know, in terms of just kind of recurring themes, and maybe we're only going to get 1 hour recorded today, because didn't we set aside time tomorrow at 8 to try to do a second? All right, because I have a 10:30 in the office, and I got to allow travel time to get there, too.
Go ahead.
Oh, so in terms of themes, right? Certainly this financial gerontology theme, meaning, you know, how long you're going to live and the unexpected expenses and healthcare expenses, and when inflation comes back into the economy, you know, with a vengeance, you know, the government just can't keep borrowing and printing money forever without consequences. And then, you know, at the same time, the other thing, because think about these people that, you know, a lot of times you run into these people, and you're seeing it now. You know, they're worth, you know, $2-4 million, right? They might have a nice pension coming in addition to Social Security. They think they're set, right?
Right.
But at the same time, the wives in particular worry that somehow it's not enough. Somehow $3 million is not enough. And so the idea becomes, well, means testing of Social Security is inevitable. You know, if you've done too well, odds are you're going to lose some of your Social Security, you know, making up that income gap. And then, you know, the things that we can do to question the integrity of the pension system about, you know, pensions are woefully underfunded. You know, we're starting to see, you know, a day of reckoning here and there with different companies across the country. This is going to become a bigger crisis. So if two of the legs of your three-legged stool of retirement income were to get knocked out, like Social Security reduced and pension reduced, what happens is that stool falls over.
Okay.
So then, and then the other thing, of course, is that recurring theme of, you know, a lot of you are subject to high expenses. A lot of you are taking on more risk than you think you are. You know, if your expenses were a lot higher than what you thought they were, or you were taking a lot more risk than you think you are, don't you deserve to know that? You know, the analysis that we could do.
Right. Yeah, I think that's two. I'll send you a list of many that I'm finding as hot buttons. Okay, so for today, first of all, we certainly want to chat. And I don't know what you did this weekend, but for me, because he's talking about being engaging. So for me, it's really all about culture and seeing shows and doing some great things and walking and getting out there. So for me, the chat would be that I did my first leg of the 12-mile walk for what I'm doing in England, and I think that's significant. But for you, it must have been something with the kids usually, or, you know, a whole other kind of world that you live in.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, it's family. It's, you know, my son, my 17-year-old son had a minor accident with the car, you know, barbecuing on the deck, power washing the deck. You know, family, because these people can relate to. They got kids, they got grandkids.
That's
so
right.
I'm going to talk about that kind of stuff.
Right. And so anyway, what I'm thinking in for the chit-chat is very simple. When we do a good grief, we always say, so what's happened to you since we last met? And we're meeting every week. According to them, we're meeting every week, you know, on the radio. So we can say, what's new? What's happened to you? And then
yeah.
I think we should go into a question. A real question. Let them know about the questions, and then we can continue with the themes. All right?
Oh yeah. So my talking about Michael's little falling asleep at the wheel and the accident. That's
right.
Interesting to people. Yeah.
I think it is, and I think the striving to be as sharp as you possibly can, no matter how long you live, is really an important thing. And there's a new book out that's just discussing the fact that makes a brain difference. Walking and exercise, so we can talk about that.
Yeah.
And then we can go right into the fact that we love the life we live, but how do we pay for it? And here's a question we have, and then I will also introduce the show as the inaugural show. All right?
Well,
okay.
Inaugural show on this station.
On this station, right, for the first time. We're on this station. So, very good. Okay, now Stuart gave me the numbers. Sue, I'm sorry, the 937, the area code is 1844,
okay.
So it's 937-3847,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but there's an extra three.
So what Stuart is saying is that there's too many numbers unless you drop the last E. So is that the way it's going? It's
apparently
three
so. In other words, you can have an extra
letter, right.
Letter, but then
yeah,
it
that's
is,
what he's
you,
saying.
Yeah, right, yes.
Good. Okay, very good. We're ready to rock and roll.
Okay.
Sue, how many minutes is the first segment? All right, all segments are 13 minutes. Because all the rest is ads.
Okay.
So we'll see how much we can actually do today. All right?
Yeah.
But I'm waiting for... Now, before that, how many seconds later are we starting because of
okay,
music?
Here's what we're doing. Here's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
15
seconds of music. I'm going to tell you how the calendar is, Ron. Because this is a more highly produced show, so there's more
uh-huh.
drop-ins that you.
15 minutes of a show.
Okay, 15 seconds of music, 13 minutes of a show.
15 seconds of music out.
15 seconds of music out.
1 minute ad.
A 1 minute ad. Yeah.
And then starts again.
Okay, hold one second.
We have a 3 minute ad call.
All you have to do is make it
Okay. Okay, so we have music is going in and out, and we also have ads. So the first block that we have to do now is 13 minutes. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on.
I understand that.
Yes.
So if you want to have it all 3 minutes, it'll give you 3 seconds.
Yes.
And that's where your ads are going to go.
Yes.
Okay. So it's 11 minutes. Everything's supposed to be 4-11 minutes.
Right.
It's 4 times 11 is 44. And then 15 seconds in and 15 seconds out, it's 4 times 30 seconds. No, it's 46. And 3 times 4 is 12 is 58 minutes.
All right, we're good. So the first segment is 11 minutes.
So you got 4:11.
Okay, we have 4:11. Okay, we're ready to go. Hello, hello, hello. This is the Ronald Gelock Retirement Power Hour, and this is Adrian Berg and
Ronald Gelock.
And this is your host for today. Now, I'm going to change that because I'm sorry, Stu. I want to change that for a second because we're not their host for today. Hello, hello, hello. This is Adrian Berg and
Ronald Gelock.
And this is the Ronald Gelock Retirement Power Hour. And this is actually our inaugural show on this particular station. But we are radio veterans, and one of the things we love to do is throw open the door and ask you to ask us questions about your successful future. And today we will have some questions, real-life questions from real-life people, and I think it's going to set the stage for what we can do for you every single week. But first, for those of you who don't know us and have not listened to us on the radio or met us at any of our conferences and live events, we'd like to introduce ourselves. So, you know, sometimes it's hard to say great things about yourself. You feel a little shy. But I do want you to know that Ronald Gelock, who'll say hello to you in a minute, is really one of the top advisors in the state of New Jersey, but he's also has a satellite office for you snowbirds in the great state of Florida. He's an author. Successonomics with Steve Forbes, Fear Factor, his latest book, False Evidence Affecting Your Retirement, and many, many other books, actually. But you may know him from his lectures all around the state and from his appearances on CNN and other of the shows that might confuse you. So we're here to make sure that you get it straight. Tell us a little bit more, though, about yourself, Ron, your family, and, you know, what's been happening lately.
Well, you know, my background is similar to yours, Adrian, in the sense that, you know, we're both prolific authors. We both have had radio shows on WABC. We're both financial advisors who really specialize in retirement planning and guiding retirees to an optimal retirement. But at the same time, you know, we both have lives outside of business. I'm married. I have 4 children. In fact, we had high drama. I'll just digress for a minute. High drama this weekend at my household in that my 17-year-old son, Michael, who just got his driver's license last month, got into a minor accident. And what happened, this is really, really quite a story, is he was coming back from the gym. He loves to play basketball. He was the high scorer on his junior varsity high school basketball team this season. So he went to the gym, was playing basketball. I guess he got tired out. He's driving home, and he's on our street in our neighborhood. He falls asleep behind the wheel, and he actually as a result, goes over the curb onto a neighbor's property, blew out two tires on the car, was able to hit the brakes because driving over the curb kind of actually woke him up, and caused, well, you know, I hate to say it, close to $2,000 of damage to the car. The main thing, or the most important thing, of course, was he was not hurt. He didn't cause any damage to the neighbor's property. But boy, did he learn a lesson about don't drive tired or sleepy, pull over. And, you know, a lot of us have kids. A lot of us have kids who have had that type of experience, the first fender bender, and it was quite traumatic for him, but it turned out okay.
You know, it's a wonderful thing to have a family that's behind you. And when something like this happens to a kid, it really does shake him up. One of the things we talk about is peace of mind. And financial peace of mind is a big deal. So when I'm listening to you, Ron, and I kind of knew this story because we had talked about this before, I'll be honest with you, one of the thoughts I had, and this is going to reveal a lot about me, is isn't it great to have something happen in your life like this and A, be able to give love and B, not panic over the money? I know people who couldn't shell out $2,000 or didn't have the insurance that they needed when something happened. And it really panicked the whole family. So one of the missions that we have here, and me particularly because of people who are older, really do have incredible anxiety over surprises, is not to get blindsided, and that's part of Ron's book, Fear Factor, don't get blindsided by something that might happen to you, like a healthcare issue, and also have enough money so you don't have to sweat the small stuff. When something like this happens, you can't predict it. And it's being in a great position in life to be able to handle it. And I will tell everybody that I came from an extremely, extremely financially, let's say, depressed family. I'm still the only one I know that was ever on welfare for a while. And so when I hear something like that, it actually inspires me that anybody could get themselves in a position to be able to manage and handle their finances. So I think that that's really about me. I mean, I'm all about being a success. I have to be honest with you. I'm one of those scrappy people that kind of came from zero and got somewhere. And even as I age, I feel the same way about health. My weekend was that I walked 12 miles with my group, my walking group, and that's a very small amount of walking for us. We're free walkers. And I hope you'll go on to the website freewalkers.org. It's a nonprofit. And people of all ages get together, and we actually walk the world. And when you do that, you feel so much mastery over yourself and your body. And most of it, I'm going to be 68. And if I could do it, you could do it, kids. So that's what I'm all about. I definitely am on a mission to have everybody have a great, great older age, financially, spiritually, and also, of course, physically. So we'll have all kinds of questions for you that you can answer, but I want to start, Ron, with something. Both of us have been on the air together for quite a while and separately as well. And we've gotten some really smart questions that are very, very hard for most advisors to answer. But Ron is an RIA, and I want him to explain what that is and what it means. And then I'm going to load him with a question that's almost a mystery puzzle. But first, explain what a registered investment advisor is.
Well, a registered investment advisor is a firm that engages in investment advisory activities, but is a firm that has a fiduciary duty to the clients to do the right thing for the clients. And what a lot of people don't understand is what's the difference between a fiduciary duty and the suitability standard that most retail brokerage firms are following. And to explain it in a very simple way, a fiduciary duty is a duty similar to the duty that a trustee has to trust beneficiaries or the legal duty that your attorney has to his client. the fiduciary standard means do the right thing, do the best possible thing. Now, the suitability standard, watch this, Adrian, the suitability standard means, hey, if it would be suitable for you to be in a bond fund, the broker can put you in almost any bond fund, including a bond fund that the firm happens to own or that has high expenses or that the firm has a behind-the-scenes revenue-sharing agreement with where additional money gets paid by the mutual fund company to the firm. And with us, it's all about transparency and full disclosure.
And, you know, the fact is that we do see some really, I won't say heinous issues in people's portfolios when they come in, but things that are just really not suitable. It's not the best thing for the client. So I'm going to throw a question at you. And as I explain, it's almost like a money puzzle. Somebody asked this, and I would say of everything we're going to talk about, this is the most important in your portfolio that can help people understand how money is made. Here we go. Why is it possible for two people to start with the same amount of money, pay the same fees, make the same annual return, and yet at the end of the same period of time have a different amount of money? It seems impossible. But if you understand how money grows, it isn't impossible at all. How does that happen? Why is that possible? This is a real question from two people who did exactly that. Let's get started. Then we'll take a little bit of a break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about why Switzerland and the United States may be have something in common, hidden and in common that you don't know about. Ron, could you fix that puzzle for us? Can you solve that puzzle for us?
Yeah, what it really has to do with is volatility. And just how, and people go, well, what's volatility? Volatility is these swings to the upside, but then swings to the downside. So excessive volatility is not your friend. And so what happens is you can have two different portfolios, which over time seem to have the same average return, but when you dive into the details, and there's that saying, the devil's in the details, what you find out is that when you have periods like 2001 and 2002 or 2008 or the next to come bear market, if you're not positioned to limit downside risk exposure, you can have a devastating outcome. And so the whole idea is to get a second opinion and understand just how volatile is my existing portfolio. How vulnerable am I to the next bear market downturn? And if I am vulnerable, what can I do about it to fix
and
it?
And, of course, one of the things, Ron, everybody should know that we are here to see you. We're here to see you either in person or on a telephone or a video face-to-face call if you use Skype or video conferencing to really set you in the right direction. We're here to make friends, give advice, to educate. We'll tell you all the ways that you can access us, and we really want to be. And for over 20 years, Ron Gielek has already been one of the financial educators in this state that have really broken barriers so that when people leave one of our directional meetings, they really understand. I call them little professors. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Switzerland, the United States. Ah, what a surprise. Don't go anywhere. Okay, so we drop in some commercials. Okay, and when we come back, I'll give the We Retire number just for them to be able to ask questions and even be on the radio if they would like. Because what
and,
we can do,
and
Ron...
If you want to also ask at some point, you know, Ron, can you give me a real-life example of volatility and what it has to do with average returns
Right. So we're going to do, come back. Okay, Stu. Hello, hello, hello. This is Adrian Berg and
Ronald Gielock.
And this is the Ronald Gielock Retirement Power Hour. And we've been talking about volatility. Ron just solved the mystery for us. What if two people have the same amount of money, pay the same fees, make the same annual return, and yet at the end of the same period of time, one has a lot more money than the other? And he answered that question by saying it's all about volatility. You can make 5% or 10% a year every year, and that's your average return. You can make 10%, 20%, lose 20%, and also end up with the same average return. But the money that you're making is on less in the years when you've lost the year before. So the whole idea is to stay stable. Now, Ron, for people who, like me, who really understand concepts, but maybe they're not so financially, mathematically oriented, give us a story. Tell us how that really works in someone's real life.
Well, no, Adrian. I actually have a real-life story that's right on point with what you're talking about here. And I'm going to change the names of the clients just for privacy reasons. But these are two people. We'll call them Bob and Mary, not their real names, but real situation. They came into the office in Parsippany, and our office in Parsippany is the big building, the Waterview Plaza building that overlooks the beautiful reservoir that supplies Jersey City with its water supply. So there's a beautiful water view, and you're all welcome to visit the office and take in the view. But anyway, Bob and Mary are in our conference room, and Bob and Mary are a second marriage situation, and they keep their finances separate. But they're meeting together, and Bob asks me this question. He says, I don't understand something, Ron. He says, my advisor tells me my average return the last 2 years has been 10%, and I've actually lost money. And Mary's advisor is telling her that her average return is 10% the last 2 years, and she's made quite a bit of money. How the heck could that possibly be? And I said, well, let's take a look at what's going on. And so what Bob shared with me, and Bob is kind of a little bit aggressive when it comes to investing, and he kind of feels, because he's got a pension and because he's got significant Social Security in addition to the pension, and he's got his forced distributions from the retirement account, that he's got more than adequate income, therefore he can afford to gamble a bit. Now, you know, gambling when you're in your early 70s is probably not the right thing to do. But anyway, what happened was Bob was working with an advisor who positioned him very aggressively. And his portfolio, he kind of, let's say he got lucky. There were some IPOs in it, and it went up 60%. So it was actually, for round number's sake, $1 million going up 60% to $1,600,000. That was year one, right? Now, year two, this portfolio dropped 40%. So what did that mean? It means now, if you do the math, he had $960,000, right? And I know not everybody is a mathematician, but we can certainly kind of show you this example when you sit down with us. But what happened was his advisor said, look, you know, the first year you were up 60, the second year you were down 40, so that's 20, divide by 2. Average return, 10% per year. Now, of course, that's not the right way to calculate average return, but this is what the advisor told him. And a lot of advisors, I hate to say it, will tell people your average return is X, but when you do the math, it doesn't seem to add up. Now, Mary, on the other hand, had a portfolio the first year went up 30%, which is still phenomenal, right? So it went from 1 million to 1,300,000. The following year, it dropped 10%. So now she was at 1,170,000. And her advisor said, look, the first year you were up 30. The second year you were down 10. That's 20 divided by 2. Average return, 10% per year. Now, of course, again, this is not the right way to do the math, but this is what a lot of advisors will tell people. And so,
and
it's
what's
not
worse, Ron, is that many mutual funds, people are in mutual funds, tell them that too. So unless they really know how to do the calculations, they don't really understand how they're earning money and why it looks so bad at the end of the day. Because, you know, I was a matrimonial lawyer for a while, and I asked one of my clients, I'll never forget this, I asked a client of mine how much alimony she wanted. And she said, I don't want any alimony, just get me money. And it's the, I don't care what my annual return is if I'm losing money and my annual return looks. So one of the things that we do, and really it's a must, and honestly there is no obligation, is we will parse, I call it parsing your portfolio. We let you know, what are you paying? What are you actually earning? And how does it look against, let's say, a simple S&P as a benchmark, the S&P 500, which is 500 stocks selected by Standard & Poor's to see the market as a whole. And you get a real eye-opener from what's possible here. And if you use us, it's wonderful. If you don't, as I say, you march out a professor. So if you do want to be pointed in the right direction, of course, we've had a number of opportunities, a couple of ads that you just heard giving you all the instructions. But if you're just tuning in, we have a very simple phone number. It is, and it's toll-free. It's 844-WE-RETIRE, WERETIR, without the E. And if you, again, if you like to make your life easy, it's 844-937-3847, 844-937-3847. But I also want you to use that number to ask questions. If all you want to do is have us refer to your question on the air, use that same number, 844-WE-RETIRE. And if you'd like to be on the air, leave a message, let us know, or tell the person who answers, and we'll have you on the air to ask the question for us, to us personally. Now, speaking of a question, Ron, we did have one. I promised to talk about the United States and Switzerland and what it could possibly have to do with each other, other than it's a nice place to visit. Well, one of the questions that we had was not about growth, which we just talked about, and the importance of volatility and understanding how your money is really growing, but the low interest rate economy. And the question was, I've heard about something called negative interest rates. What are they and how do they affect me? So I'm going to talk about what they are and then throw it to you, Ron, to how people could maybe do better than the way they're doing now. Very simply, the economies of Switzerland started it, and we're following in the United States. We have a sluggish economy. It looks good in some parts, but actually it's quite slow and deflationary. It means that we just don't have the gross national product that we wish we had. And so our central banks want people to invest in corporations and equities. They also want companies to be able to borrow money very cheaply so they could grow. And the fact is that one way to do that is to control how much you pay for money. In other words, how much interest you pay on credit. That also affects how much interest you get in the bank. So right now, we're in a very low interest rate economy. And in Switzerland, believe it or not, the central banks went negative. You will actually lose money by putting money in a bank. You'll be charged. It's like a penalty for holding cash. The difference is, not to worry, we're thinking about that. It's always up, and the feds are always talking about negative interest rates. But right now, even in Switzerland, it's for big pension funds. It's for huge amounts of money. And some people feel it will come down to us. It's also a great way to make sure that people are not in cash, because cash helps you be very private, and the government is not interested in privacy right now, not with drug dealers and terrorists. So cash is not king. But what's happening to people, particularly my group, interested in retiring already retired is they don't have safe high interest rates anymore. So now, Ron, that's the real question. What do we do about it? Is there any shelter from the storm of these low interest rates?
Well, you know, I think there is, but I think that we're big advocates of having a plan B, a backup plan, that says, well, if things don't go the way I expect them to go, what can I do to make sure that I'm going to be okay? And I was absolutely startled. This was just in, to echo what you said, Adrian, this was just back in February where our Federal Reserve Chairwoman Janet Yellen said at a congressional hearing that in regard to negative interest rates coming to America, she says, you know, quote, we're taking a look at them. I wouldn't take those off the table. And, you know, a negative interest rate like what's going on in Europe right now means that you can actually be charged interest to have savings kept in a bank.
Correct.
And the theory is, of course, this is going to stimulate the economy. That really remains to be seen. But the whole idea of, well, what could we or what should we do to get ahead of the curve is to put together, with our help, a sound retirement income plan. So if you feel that some funds should be positioned in a principal protected manner, or you should have some funds positioned to guarantee a specific level of income, well, guess what? You know, the insurance industry has some no-load, no-fee products that do exactly that. And sadly, most retail brokers will never, ever, ever tell a client about it because it's not on the firm's agenda for clients to be made aware of all their options. And that's what
and,
we
want
to do.
You know, when we come back, Ron, I'm going to tell the story about somebody who did use that option and how well it worked out. So if you haven't heard about it before, stay tuned. You will. Okay, so that's the second set.
Okay.
Now I'm going to start with a real story. Now remember, there's plenty of ads in between here, so people are being asked to come in. They're being told that it's direction, you know, all the stuff that's been approved. Okay, Stu? Hello, 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 and we are back, and this is Adrian Berg and
Ronald Gelock.
And this is the Ronald Gelock Retirement Power Hour. And, you know, we have a special number for you. You've heard it in a couple of our ads, but we don't only want you to use it to have a meeting with us. We could do face-to-face, we could do a video, we could do on the phone, as you know. We also want you to stimulate this show. We want you to make this show yours. How do we do that? Well, you ask us the questions that are in your life. And if you'd like, you can even tell us that you'd like to be on the air. And we will arrange for that, and it will be part of this show. Because this is a community educational show, very different from most. It's there for you to learn things that you can't see on television, often don't hear on radio, and won't read about in the magazines. Because, you know, there's so much discussion in politics today about outsiders. Well, in one sense, independent advisors, as we are also outsiders. Because nobody says, this is what you have to tell the client to do. We look at not what is suitable, but what is best. So if you've got questions, we probably know the answer. And don't worry if it's an exotic question and you haven't been able to find out the answer. We've both been around for a very long time. How do you ask? Well, call 844-937-3847, 844-937-3847, and that very handily translates to 844-WE-RETIRE, 844-WE-RETIRE. All right, so I promised we were talking about the low interest rates. We were talking about Janet Yellen, the head of the Fed, maybe going the way that Switzerland has gone and other European countries for negative interest. So I want to tell a true story very quickly and then throw it over to Ron. I had somebody come in, and remember, I'm dealing with people of a certain age. They really can see what life will be like in their 70s, 80s, 90s, and beyond. So they're usually 60 plus. And he said, and this fellow said, I want something that will always pay me at least 6.5%. I know that in the old days, money used to double in about 7 years. Interest rates were more high. I'd like to see something like that. Is it possible? And the answer was, yes, but probably not in the way that a normal advisor or an everyday advisor would suggest. There are products, and yes, they are called annuities, which is one of my pet peeves in my books, that people call annuities, things that aren't annuities, but they do credit you in two ways. One, actual dollars that you can use, leave as an inheritance. But secondarily, the right kind of specialized annuity will also credit you in a separate account for guaranteed income all of your life. And no, you don't have to give up the money to get this computation. And yes, there were, as after I did extensive research, several choices that would guarantee him a credit of 6.5%, 6.25%, no matter what happened to the market. At a time when he decided that he was going to create a cash flow for himself. There are others that credit in different ways. Some even will double the amount of your income if you need long-term care without taking a medical or having an insurance policy first. So these are really important alternatives. And Ron, I think that it really needs to be made clear how much time you spend looking at these alternative style investments. You know, you're very, very, you have so many credentials, an attorney, books you have written, television shows you have done. But I think your biggest credential is something people don't see, Ron, and that is how much time you spend vetting these different kinds of solutions.
Yeah, Adrian, I have to tell you this. I am a little bit weird that way, meaning this past spring break a few weeks ago, we went on a family vacation. We went on a Carnival cruise ship, right? And it was great. There was lots of grandparents and kids and families. It was really, really a wonderful trip. But I got in trouble with higher authority. I refer to my wife as higher authority because I'm sitting there reading trade publications on how to safely generate more income. And you know, with us, it's never ever about a product. It's more about a system. It's more about a plan. And I have to say this, you know, 99% of annuities, I hate them like poison because they've got ridiculously obscene fees. They are written, in my opinion, in favor of the insurance company, not the consumer. But there are a handful of no-load, no-fee, or no-load, low-fee products that actually are worth looking at it. And the reason I say that is because if you said to a retiree or a pre-retiree, what is it that you would want for this bucket of money or this segment of your retirement savings? And if a person says, well, you know, I'd like that chunk of money protected against market fluctuation and risk and downturns, but I'd like the opportunity to earn a competitive interest rate when the years are good and not lose money when the years are bad, and I want certainty. I want to know no matter what, how much income could I generate for myself and my wife the rest of my life? That's where certain select programs will bring to the table as part of an overall plan.
And you know, Ron, I would say that, again, with my passion, that everybody have a better older age, because to me, I guess I didn't really wake up till I was 50 years old. My dad died when he was very young, and I always thought I would also, honestly. And when I turned 50 and I was healthy, I was surprised. So I would say the latter part of my life is the better part of my life, and I want to make sure that's true of everybody. So I see things, and I understand why people do not like annuities. In my first book on financial gerontology, How Not to Go Broke at 102, I asked, will the real annuity please stand up? because what we are talking about, that's often part, not always, but can be part of a plan B, is really not what people think of. So here's a real story, and it happened yesterday, by the way. Client came in, and they had an annuity, and this annuity they had bought over 14 years ago, and which meant that they could get out of it without paying any kind of surrender charge, or they could swap it under the Internal Revenue Code without any taxes for a different kind of annuity. And I asked them, gee, what happens to this annuity in the event you need long-term care? Because they were not insurable. And we looked it up. Sure enough, nothing happens. They didn't get anything extra should they need long-term care. We said, okay, what bonuses did you get when you signed up? We looked. Nothing. So, you know, this was okay. They actually had made money on it. It was very nice. In fact, they actually said, they did better in that than they did in their own mutual fund investing. So it grew very nicely. It is not true that annuities don't grow well. They can. But that's all it did for them. It was another part of their portfolio. I like to see different kinds of solutions. I call them Swiss Army knives. I guess Switzerland is on my mind today, Ron. Swiss Army knives. They do a lot of different things for you. So this can give you income, this can give you growth, this can give you cover some of your blindside health expenses that you didn't expect to have or you didn't plan for as you get older or if you're no longer insurable. It's a lot of things we look for in our solutions. But I want to toss this back because it made me think, as I was talking, Ron, about fear factor, false evidence affecting your retirement, which is the name of your latest book. I've got a couple of chapters in there. You know, you talk about being blindsided. And Market Watch, which is a very important newsletter today, picked up your entire chapter on being blindsided. They thought it was so important. So let's talk a minute. What do you mean by blindsided, and how can we be blindsided in our retirement?
Well, you know, I kind of use the analogy of you're driving down the highway, and you go to change lanes, and you put your turn signal on, and you glance in the rearview mirror and the side view mirror, you start to ease over, and then all of a sudden somebody's leaning the horn on you, and you scoop back to your lane as quick as you can, your chest is pounding, you got an adrenaline rush, you go, oh my gosh, that guy was in my blind spot, I didn't even see him coming. And this is what I mean by blind spots. So there's different blind spots that we face as retirees and pre-retirees. One of them, of course, is, well, what if a catastrophic illness should occur later in life? And you know what, Adrian? My father did not expect to have a massive stroke. My mother did not expect to come down with Alzheimer's disease. But those things happened to them. So this is what I mean by blind spots. And it's not just blind spots relating to catastrophic illness and longevity, but it's financial blind spots of just blindly trusting that things are going to be the way that they've always been when we're in a changing world and a changing society and in a world where we've got negative interest rates going on, you know, in Japan, in Sweden, in the Eurozone, in Switzerland, and possibly coming to the United States. So we're in a world where, just I'll give you another example, right? Somebody who says to me, I really love my broker. I've been with my broker for 20 years, but you know what? I'm going to get the second opinion anyway. And when we did the analysis and we went through what they had, Adrian, you would not believe it. There was one mutual fund that was invested heavily in Puerto Rican government bonds. How safe do you think that is? There was another mutual fund. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Adrian, there was another mutual fund that was investing, and this was some sort of global opportunities fund. I forget the exact name of it. But they're investing in the sovereign debt of countries like Greece and Portugal, countries that are financial basket cases. And meanwhile, the prospective client's telling me how much they love their broker. And I'm like, I can't even believe what I'm looking at. That's why we talk about blind spots and the importance of getting a second opinion.
And when we return, we're going to talk about something else, which is the strength of the dollar We have some real blind spots when it comes to that. Don't go away. We'll make you a professor. Okay, this is really working out very well. So, again, I'll talk a little bit about the strength of the dollar, but for that, I think, again, think of it, this is a lifestyle issue. So you might be thinking about a client or a story where people were concerned that their lifestyle was going to be curtailed. Okay?
Sure.
Do you have? Okay, good. And it's our last segment, so we'll be saying goodbye. Go ahead, Rick. Hello, hello, hello. This is Adrian Berg and
Ronald Gielock.
And this is the Ronald Gielock Retirement Power Hour. And, of course, every week from now on, this is our inaugural show. We will be with you, making you a financial professor. Are you ready for it? Yes, it can be you. And no, you don't have to know anything about math. What you do have to do is know the issues in your life that have to do with finances. What's bothering you? What is keeping you awake? And then you simply call us and ask us your questions. We'll answer them on the air. We'll have you on the air. And, of course, as you've heard from our ads, we're always, always having the door open for you to come see us face-to-face, have a phone call or a video call or a Skype conference to point you in the right direction. And what is that number? Very simple. It's 844-WE-RETIRE. 844-WE-RETIRE. It is toll-free. And if you're as lazy as I am, it's 844-937-3847. 844-937-3847. So I want to talk a minute about the strength of the dollar. One of the things that I do is a great deal of research because I am a journalist, do a lot of writing, and I probably write 2 to 3 articles on personal finance every week. And the latest several of them that's been called for have to do with how strong the American dollar is. I'm going to be in England, and I can tell you that I'm a happy camper because of the conversion rate. Americans are doing very well if they travel. Problem is this. It's not as strong as you think because it doesn't buy as much as you think of what you need. There's something called the ECPI, the Elder Consumer Price Index, and we have inflation. Most of us in my world started to work about 1972. That's the time that many, many baby boomers began to work. And the fact is that it would take over $5,500 today to buy what $1,000 bought in that year. So you have to be at least five to six times richer than you thought you had to be in retirement when you started out in your work life. And it's curtailing people. One of the articles I wrote is called Is Your Friend Poor? And it got read by more people than anything else because, Ron, it was about a woman who stopped going to lunch. She stopped going to golf. And she stopped making contributions, as she used to her charities. She wasn't poor in the sense that she didn't have food. We weren't talking about poverty level. We were talking about somebody who, in their 70s, had a change of lifestyle that they had enjoyed most all their life. And so inflation is here in our pocketbook, even if it isn't here in the world. And the dollar is strong, but not for health care. Not when health care costs $7,500 a month for one person to be in assisted living. And I know you have a lot of real stories, Ron, to tell people.
Oh, sure. I mean, we are just, how can I put it, full of stories because we have been living, breathing, sleeping, retirement and retirement planning for over 20 years. And I can tell you, when I was a kid, I can actually remember a conversation that my mom was having with my grandma. And it kind of went like this. My grandma's telling my mom, you know, one bank wants to give me 13.8% on a CD, and this other bank will only give me 13.5%, but they'll give me a toaster or an electric blanket or a blender. And a lot of our listeners can remember those days where, you know, retirement planning wasn't very hard. It just involved shopping for the highest CD rates. You know, now people are in a quandary. They just don't know where to turn and what to do and where to get good, honest advice. And it's very, very frightening for people. You know, I had somebody come into the office who just had all their money sitting in a money market account because they said, look, I don't know what to do. I'm afraid to lose it. Then I had somebody else who had all their money in the stock market, and they said, well, you know, I can't keep it in the bank. I'm not going to make any money there. And they were, I hate to say it, they were just kind of ignorant of the risks of, well, if we hit another bear market, what's going to happen to the value of this portfolio and its capacity to produce income? So we always want to look at putting together a sound retirement income plan. And the advisors on our team just focus in on that. Like, and I'll give you an example. I've got a meeting coming up where what we're talking about is what's the economic consequences of the death of a spouse where, you know, for example, this couple, when the husband passes away, the pension to the spouse is reduced by 50%. And, of course, she's not going to get two Social Security checks if he passes away. She's only going to get one. So we've got to build a plan to make sure that she's not impoverished in the event that he passes away prematurely. So these are the kinds of things that we do, and we do so well.
And, you know, let me tell you something very typical, exactly what you're talking about, how people do not realize their lifestyle can be diminished. This is what I find over and over again. I'm going to be not gender neutral, folks. I'm going to be truthful, completely truthful. The men are not protecting themselves financially. When there is a husband that has a pension, I see over and over again that they make sure that it's for the life of the wife. In other words, they take a joint option. They take a little less money, but they have a joint option. And I'm seeing over and over again the women who are working, and it's interesting because in my age group, these are special women. Many women did not work. But the people who are coming into me, they worked. They have a pension. And guess what? When the woman has a pension, they've taken the 100% pension. And the husband is not going to get anything if the wife passes away first. And they do it for two reasons. One, they don't think she's going to pass away first. They take a big, big risk. And the second reason is the husbands say they don't need so much money, that the woman is more expensive, and they laugh and they giggle. And I say, you realize her pension is gone. Her Social Security is gone. If you don't have the insurance you need, you're living on your Social Security and the investments that you've made. And they better be pretty secure because you're a person too. And sometimes I have to explain that. And I bring them to a point where they can envision what their life would be like without those two things. And you should too. You guys ought to go and take a look at your own portfolio, see if there are any dividends in it. See if it's all subject to the equities and vicissitudes of the market. And there can be issues. So I'm going to throw this back at you, Ron. You know, I know you have over 20 years of experience dealing with couples and how they work in retirement. Are there any secrets in terms of just getting people on the same page?
Yeah, it's so interesting, Adrian, because the advisors on our team and myself included have said, you know, at times we feel almost like psychologists because when we sit and counsel with a husband and wife, we want to try to get them understanding each other's points of view and getting on the same page. So a big part of that is understanding what we call longevity risk. And it used to be that if somebody made it into their 90s, that was exceptional. But today, a 65-year-old woman has almost 1 in 3 odds of living to age 90. And a 65-year-old man's got about 1 in 5 odds of living to age 90. A 65-year-old couple's got a 45% chance, almost 50-50, that one of them will survive to age 90. And, I mean, Adrian, half of all 60-year-olds still have a living parent. So we've got to put together a plan that's designed for the long term. And this is not what most brokers do, sadly. This is not what they specialize in. And that's why I think people need to talk to a firm like ours.
And, you know, as we're coming to the end of our first show, we did try to cover the waterfront, and there's so much more that we haven't even touched. And one of those things is taxes. It was mentioned by Ron that he's an attorney and I'm an attorney. Do not hold that against us. And we don't practice law. We practice you. So what I do in my past is elder law and trust and estates. But Ron is a tax lawyer. And one of the things that he fights against is tax-infested IRAs and 401ks, and does have, and we've found that in our live conferences and live events, people are most interested in saving taxes. And they begin to get that way much more as they get older and have to take the required minimum distribution out by law and start to pay taxes on what they have accumulated. So in our future shows, we're going to be dealing with that. But I want to remind you that if you have questions, we're not afraid to answer them. 844-937-3847. It's also 844-WE-RETIRE. And if you'd like to be on the air with us, you can. You can ask your question right on the air. We will make an arrangement that's convenient to you to record it. And you'll hear yourself every single Sunday. We hope to have more than one question from real people. If you're shy, you can call, leave your question, and we will answer it on the air anyway. And if you give us your contact information, we'll even tell you when we're going to be answering that, because we want to make you all professors. So we have about a minute left, Ron. I'm going to toss it to you to say goodbye and to end the show and to give your philosophy of the week.
Oh, my goodness, the philosophy of the week. I think I'm going to make it a big teaser for next week's show, which is pay less taxes legally.
Legally. That's wonderful. So for everybody else, you know, I have a tendency to want people to get out. It's beautiful out. It's finally gorgeous. It's finally the spring. Romance is calling. Walking is calling. Health is calling. Take a deep breath. And I'll also be talking about brain power and how you make financial decisions as you get older, and you make sure that you are large and in charge. So, as we always say and will say every single week, get out there, kids, and make it happen. Okay.
Yeah, I thought, you know, I thought
it's
that was good
show.
In a sense. What?
It's a better show than we've done in
the
past.
Oh, my goodness. It was way more interesting, way more entertaining, real life examples, personal examples, talking about yourself, your family. I think this is the kind of thing that people will want to hear. And then the appropriate part is with these commercials, having, you know, compelling calls to action. And I think that there was, I don't know, I think there's one email that I got to find that's like, I don't know, sample calls to action. I think I'll ask Georgianne to, like, send it to you and me. She's got it somewhere.
Well, so the thing is this. I sent to Dana, to Phil.
Yeah.
And he sent it back already with changes, which, of course, make it less compelling, but not bad. Not bad. And I'm ready to record them. And also, I do think it will be credible if it can be recorded by the other voice, and they will do that. So we'll have one in my voice and one in an announcer. Thing is, and we'll give this new phone number in it. But the thing is that he said that it has to have the usual disclaimer language. That's all he said. So I don't know what that is. I don't know if you saw
it. Oh, my gosh. You know what I think it is? I think it is that there's a whole one thing is disclosing the stuff that's on the back of my business card that, you know,
that's
hey, you know, right? But then the other thing had to do with something like, insurance company or insurance products or, you know, are backed, by the, financial strength of the insurance company. I would probably not throw that in the first one and have him say, oh, you got to throw that in, you know.
Okay,
afterwards.
Good, because he's on vacation. According to Georgianne, she wrote to me today, and she said he's on vacation.
Yeah.
So I can't even get him, and neither could she. So I have the business card. I can get that in, which is a pain in the butt, but we can do it. However, the other, I don't really know what it is. So as long as I can just get away with it, let's say, with this kind of disclosure, that'll be good.
Well, yeah, and then he seemed to have a new pet peeve on not using the word educational, but instead using the word informational.
I was last time was the other way, but okay, fine.
Yeah, it's really weird. He we sent him the seminar invitation for approval, like we always do, and suddenly he comes back and says, change the word educational to informational. I'm like, okay, whatever.
I know, it's a better word probably. But all right, so that's that. Now, for tomorrow, Stu, can we do one tomorrow morning?
Yes, 8:00,
yeah. Right, and I'll be able to get into the city for 11:30. Okay, very good. So we'll be doing the same thing tomorrow, okay?
Yeah, if we start at 8, it will be done by 9.
Yeah, we're good.
Plenty of time to get in, yeah.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Very good, take care. All right. Bye.
All right. Bye.